This is the Apostle Peter. He's preaching the gospel, and he's getting some people's, he's getting their attention. In fact, they already had their attention grabbed because the Lord healed somebody who had never walked. And so this guy's healed, and everybody's like, what's going on? And Peter starts preaching the gospel and saying, listen, it's time to repent. It's time to turn your life back to God. Stop walking in your ways. Start walking in the Lord's ways and put your trust in the Lord. And he says, if you'll do that, if you'll repent, he says, not only will your sins be blotted out, washed, cleansed, cleaned, forgiven, but he says this. He says, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. See, not only when we put our trust in Jesus, not only are our sins forgiven, but we receive the Holy Spirit from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is able to pour out into our own hearts, into our lives, into our souls, the presence of God that comes with all His hope and all His joy and all His love and all His peace and everything that He is, because it's really Jesus Christ Himself, by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dwelling inside of us and filling us up with all that God is. And this is what the Lord wants. I believe that this Christmas, the Lord spoke to me that for His present to us, He wanted to give us His presence. Amen. I know it's a great pun, but it's also truth. Yes. That His present is His presence. That He wants to fill us. He wants to refresh you. He wants to send times of refreshing to you, to heal you, to restore you, to satisfy you, to sustain you. The Lord wants to fill you with His presence. In fact, we've looked at this the last couple weeks, following just the Advent season. As many of you know, these are Advent candles. The first week was hope. The second week is love. The third week, which is what we're on right now, is joy. Joy. And we've talked about how the Lord, He fills our hearts up with His hope. And He fills our hearts up with His love. And today, I believe the Lord wants to give you joy. Joy. Let me ask you a question. How is your hope level? How is your joy level? Are you full? Are you abounding? Or are you depleted? One of my kids was up here, Joshua, and when he was real little, I think he thought he was Buzz Lightyear. I mean, like, for real. He would say things like, I can't say it as cute as him, but to infinite and beyond, or whatever. You know, he couldn't say the whole thing. He'd just say it kind of funny. We'd all laugh. Say it again. And he'd jump around and he'd fly around. But when he was tired, he would tell us, he'd say that he'd go down like this real low. He'd say, I think my batteries are low. I mean, if you tried to tell him he wasn't a robot, he'd get mad, you know? And so one time when he was a little bit older, like maybe four, he said, I'm Iron Man. And we told him, hey, don't go out in the street. And he said, no, I go like this to the cars. And we were like, no, you are not Iron Man. I mean, it ain't funny anymore, you know what I'm saying? But he would get tired. I mean, for like at least a year, my batteries are low. That's what he'd say. My batteries are low. Good thing he doesn't do that anymore. But we thought that was funny. But don't you feel like that sometimes? Yes. You think my batteries are low. You know, we don't have batteries, but something's low, amen, right? Amen. You know? So, you know, sometimes I've got this cell phone that at like 20% kicks on. You're bling. You're 20% low, right? And put it on like emergency mode or something like that, you know? And if you don't put it on emergency mode, you're going to go even quicker. And then at 10%, it goes, you know, right? And 10%, you know, I'm at 10%. And it gets down to 1% or 2%. You know, you guys know this with your phones. It doesn't work very well, right? It says 2%, but I don't think so. You know, even your cars, you ever notice that? Like older cars especially, it's getting like on the, you know, you think, I can go, I can keep going. And you're like, man, this thing, not really going. I thought I had gas in there. You can't do that to your car. You know, it's picking up all the dirt in your stuff. That's how we are, huh? We get depleted. We leak, don't we? How's your hope level? Are you like David? We've talked about this a couple weeks ago. Are you like David, where David said, I would have lost heart if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you have that kind of confidence? That I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God will fulfill His promise for my life. He will do it in my life. He will do it for me. Not just Like we saw that testimony of that lady where the Lord provided. It's not just that he'll do it for her, he'll do it for me. Do you have that kind of hope? Abounding hope. So much hope. You got it for you, but you got it for other people too. You got some, hey, I got some hope. Here, you want some hope? I'll give you some hope. Do you have that kind of hope? Or are you saying, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know. What about your joy level? Are you abounding with joy? Overcoming? Or are you saying, oh, I don't know if I can do this? Right? Do you wake up and say, good morning, Lord? Or do you say, oh, Lord, it's morning, right? Good Lord, it's morning. What do you say? Are you full? Or are you depleted? It says here in Proverbs chapter 18, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? You see, we're not just physical beings. You can be physically sick and that depletes you, right? You can be physically tired and that can deplete you. Sometimes you just need a nap, you need to rest, you need some vitamin C and all that. But there's something on the inside of us. We're a spiritual being. And when your spirit is strong and full of the Lord, like we were created to be, you can endure hard times. You can endure even sickness. You can have a good attitude. You can have the right perspective. But if your spirit is crushed, depleted of hope, and there's many reasons why that can happen. If your spirit is crushed, it says, but who can bear a broken spirit? Or another one in Proverbs 13, 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled or a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Sometimes just the delay of waiting for the answered prayer or the waiting for the desire to be fulfilled. Sometimes we just get weary, like, is it ever going to come? Will I ever see the breakthrough? And we lose hope and we can get drained of our joy. We can get drained of our hope, and we can be in a place where we're weakened, where we don't have the motivation or the energy. And this is what the Lord has been saying to us. He's saying, I want to fill you. I want to sustain you with my love. I want to restore your hope. I want to heal your heart. I want to refresh you with my presence and fill you up with my joy, my peace, my love, my hope. This is what the Lord has been saying. He wants to send forth times of refreshing. He wants to do this, what it says in Romans 15, 13. It says this. Paul was praying this for the disciples, and this is what the Lord is saying he wants to do. He's saying this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. Faith is how we access these things, receive these gifts from the Lord. And then he goes on to say, that you may abound in hope. Abound. Not just have a little bit. Not just kind of make it through your day. Not just, yeah, the same day, the same week, the same year. Oh yeah, now it's 2018. Same thing as last year. No, but abounding in hope. That 2018 can be more. Can be an increase. Can be different. That is not just, oh, yeah, wake up, go to work, come back home, do this, do that. Yeah, another Christmas, another birthday, another. No. But our life can be filled with purpose, filled with the glory of God, filled with the joy of the Lord, filled with hope, that your perspective can be shifted, that your heart can be healed, that God can restore you, restore your family, your marriage, answer prayers and bring breakthrough to your life, that the promises of God can be fulfilled in your life. This is what the Lord wants, that you would abound with hope. But notice what it says here, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God coming and filling you and empowering you to have something that's beyond your circumstance, beyond your personality, beyond your upbringing, beyond your family culture, and even beyond our American or Western culture, or whatever culture you were raised in. Beyond all that, the Lord is saying, by the power of the Spirit, you can be full of the Lord and full of his joy and full of his peace, full of his hope. You know, these things that we're describing, these aren't just catchphrases. These aren't just nice little words that we put on Christmas cards or, you know, the marketing professionals, they use these kind of things to sell like credit cards or something, you know, or to sell cars. Like that's really going to satisfy us. No, these are the marks of the Christian life. Come on, it's even the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit right there in the beginning. Love,
joy, peace,
fruits of the Spirit, to be a person of hope, believing what God said to be true, full of the joy of the Lord, at peace, at rest in the Lord, satisfied with God's love, and then, of course, giving all of that away. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the mark of a Christian life. The mark of growing as a disciple and being mature and being fruitful. This is what the Lord wants for you. This is what the Lord wants to give to you and restore to you and refresh you in this season. And that's why we lit these candles. That's why we lit these candles, the hope candle. I think it's interesting that fire, it's a light in darkness, isn't it?
Yes.
A candle of hope, because light breaks into darkness. John 1 says, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And the candle of love, I think that's interesting because that fire is warm. And we associate warmth with affection and love. Not just we don't only, the Bible does. In fact, the Bible says in Song of Songs 8 that God's love is like a mighty flame that rivers cannot quench. And then it's also interesting that fire dances, isn't it? You ever sit and watch a bonfire? I don't know if you guys are like that. I'm not necessarily like a pyro guy, you know? But like when you go camping, you just look at the fire. It's beautiful, actually, isn't it? The way the fire dances and moves and it's reaching out for oxygen or whatever it's doing. And of course, out of control is bad. But fire is amazing, isn't it? It dances full of joy. I mean, I was just thinking about that, like, interesting qualities. But that's why we lit the joy candle today, because the Lord wants to give you a gift of joy. He wants to give you the gift of joy. Listen to these verses about joy, about the joy the Lord wants to give you. It says this in Nehemiah 8:10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, the context of this is they had just come back, the Israelites had just come back from exile, from getting kicked out of the promised land because of their own errors and mistakes. And here they were trying to rebuild their lives, rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, rebuild getting back into the Word of God. In fact, the context of this is they were standing all day listening to the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, read to them. They're getting back to their roots, to their heritage, to honoring God and fearing God. And actually, as they were listening to the Word of God preached, they were actually weeping because they realized, we haven't done this. We haven't lived this. We haven't obeyed God. And they were weeping. And that's not all bad, because godly sorrow can lead to repentance. There can be that, oh, I need to change, and there can be a turning. But the leaders said, no, this is not a day of sorrow. This is not a day of sorrow. This is a day of joy, because we're back to the Word. We're back to God. We're back to the land. This is a new start, so we can have joy. And that's when they said this phrase, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. See, the joy that the Lord wants to give us, it's not happiness that's just based on circumstances. That's not bad, but it's not that. Notice what it says, the joy of the Lord. God's joy that flows from His heart. Like those rivers of living water that the Bible says flow from the throne of God, flow from His heart. It's who He is. And the Bible says that we who are filled with the Spirit, we have rivers of living water flowing in us. Not just for us, but for others. The joy of the Lord. This is joy that is beyond this world, beyond this circumstance, these circumstances. And notice it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's what's going to give you that strength, that energy, that motivation. See, even if you're tired, even if you're waking up early every morning, going to bed late every night, working hard, pressing ahead on whatever the thing that the Lord has called you to do, maybe as a student or working as a parent, and you're working, and you're trying to be a parent, you're doing all these things, and the Lord's saying, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, a lot of times we're trying to find our strength. Man, I just need to sleep more. Well, yeah, sleep is good. I need to eat better. Yeah, that's good too. But I need to exercise. Yeah, you probably do. A little bit of exercise goes a long way. Get your serotonin levels up and all that. Yeah, it's all part of it. But the Bible says, no, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You connect with the joy of the Lord, you get renewed vigor, renewed strength and energy and motivation. That's what we need. We need the joy of the Lord. David called it the joy of his salvation in Psalm 51. Again, very similar context. Here's David singing this Psalm 51 to the Lord, very famous because David had sinned against the Lord, had hidden that sin, hardened his heart until the prophet confronted him, and David confessed his sin, acknowledged it, and repented. And the Lord received his repentance and showed him mercy. So here it is, similar context, and David says this in Psalm 51, starting in verse 10. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence." You see that? His presence. "And do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." See, David was in tune to something. When he was living in sin and he had hardened his heart, he wasn't experiencing the blessings of the presence of God. He had hardened his heart and he wasn't able to receive from the Lord. Here he is coming in repentance to say, "No, Lord, but I need you. I need you, and I need you to refresh me and restore me and create in me a clean heart." He's saying, "Lord, I want to obey you. I want to please you." But he's also saying, "God, I need to know that you delight in me, and I need to have your favor back on me, and I need to be full of your joy." And notice what he says, though. Not the joy of circumstances, the joy of salvation, the joy of knowing that I am saved and forgiven and I have mercy from God. The joy of knowing that you are for me and not against me, that you're with me, that you're not resisting me, but you're behind me, backing me. That if I ask you for something, you're going to do it because you promised to do it. And David's saying, "Restore that joy to my heart." See, this is the joy of the Lord. This is the joy of our salvation. This is the joy that we need. This is the joy that Jesus brought to earth. Why we sing "Joy to the World." Why we sing these songs, because Jesus is the one who embodied this joy and brought this joy. In fact, it's one of the reasons he died and rose again in bringing us salvation. It says here in John 16, listen to this promise from the Lord. Listen to this promise from John 16, actually going to read in verse 22. John 16, verse 22, he says this, "Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. And your joy, no one will take from you." No one will take from you. The context here is he's about to go to the cross. And he's telling his disciples all about it. They didn't get it, but he's telling them all about it. And he's getting them set up and prepared and ready and saying, "Listen, you're not going to get what's going on. And you're actually going to have sorrow. The world's going to be happy I'm dead." You know, the Pharisees and such. "You're going to be grieving." But he says, "But you're going to see me again." Obviously referring to his resurrection. He's saying, "Listen, I'm going to rise." He told them multiple times, "I'm going to die." He told them exactly how he's going to die. And then, "I'm going to rise on the third day." He said it again and again. They still didn't get it until it happened. I think that they didn't get it. They thought, "Oh, he must be talking spiritually. Yeah. Must be spiritually." No, he meant like, "No, like for real. Like I'm going to really kick death's butt." Right. And they didn't get it. So he's saying right here, "Listen, you're going to see me again. You're going to see me again. I'm going to rise from the dead. You're going to see me again. And then you're going to have a joy. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of your salvation." And listen to the way he describes it. "It's joy that no one can take from you." No one can take from you. Oh, come on. You getting excited? I'm getting excited. The joy that no one can take from you. This is the kind of joy that the Lord wants to give you. This is the joy in spite of circumstances, in spite of how you're feeling. This is joy in spite of those things. In fact, it defies those things. You ever seen those? I saw this video on Facebook recently. This dude jumped out of a plane with no parachute. No parachute. Yeah, I'm thinking, what's the guy doing? What is this? And he, you know, he does, you know how they do that thing where they like, they look like a penguin or something like that. And he's just zipping down in the air and doing his thing in the air and all that. And all of a sudden, at the end of the video, he falls into this massive net. This is for real. Huge net they built in the desert. Real tall so that it could, like, grab him. And he falls into this net, like, on, like, he falls, like, the perfect way, I guess. So I don't know if he died, but, you know, it looked like he was fine, right? He soars right towards this net that had like a bullseye on it and just kind of like falls the right way, hits this net, and this net just kind of like receives all that energy that he was Oh my goodness. Like, do you know people like that? Because that's crazy. See, I see that and I think, that's crazy. I showed my son John David and he thought the same thing I did. What if he missed? I thought, how do you practice something like that? You know what I mean? I mean, you better have some good mathematicians on your side to calculate. Yeah. You know, I mean, what if they were like, oh, we should have made it 10 feet taller. Whoops, you know? I mean, but these people, they're crazy. They're like going to ride a motorcycle and jump over like a huge building or something like that. Like, there's reasons I don't do that. You ever see those videos where the person like almost makes it?
Yeah.
And like, oh, you know what I'm saying? That's why I don't do things like that. But like, I don't get it. To me, that's crazy, right? That's crazy. Like, why would you do that? Why would you be the guy that walks across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope? Did you see that guy? He has like a wife and kids. Like, the wife, how would you feel as a wife? I'm trying to think, I put myself in my wife's position. I don't think she would like me, you know? And here, he's walking across this tightrope. But these people are defying. You ever hear? They call it death-defying, you know, right? Right? Death-defying. Why? Because they're defying death. They're like, yeah, I should die doing this, but I'm not, you know, right? Like, they're like, I'm going to defy the Grand Canyon. I'm going to defy gravity. You get what I'm saying? They're like staring death in the face. I think these people are a little crazy, right? Like, if any of you are like that, like, you're awesome. But I'm just saying, like, you got to be a little bit crazy to do that, yes? You gotta be a little bit out of your normal mind. That's not culturally normal. Well, that's the kind of joy the Lord wants us to have. No, I'm serious. Think about it. Jesus stared death in the face and said, yeah, watch me. You gonna kill me? I'm gonna take you out. 3 days later, rises from the dead. We're talking about Jesus who conquered death. Who like went down into Hades, the place of the dead. The Bible says that he took the keys of death in Hades. Like, you see him in Revelation chapter 1, and he's like, look what I got. I got him.
Amen.
Took him back. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's the boss, right? So here's Jesus, and he defies death. He defies the grave. He defies these things, right? He defied sickness. He defies sin. He defies shame and guilt and all the and pain. And he looks in the face and says, right? And this is the kind of joy he wants to give you. Joy that defies your sin because you've repented and the joy of your salvation comes to you. Joy that defies shame and guilt and condemnation. Joy that defies your circumstances. Joy that defies whatever's opposing you. Joy. This is resurrection joy. This is eternal joy. This is heavenly joy. This is joy connected to eternity, connected to the reality of God. This is joy that's not from your own natural abilities, natural personality. It's joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That you'd abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Filling you up with the joy of the Lord. The joy that flows like a river of living water from heaven. Joy. Joy, joy, death-defying joy, gravity-defying joy, circumstance-defying joy, sin-defying joy. This is the joy that the Lord wants us to have. I mean, it's the kind of, like, this is the kind of thing like David looking at Goliath and just defying him, you know? I'm going to take you out. And this is the kind of joy we need. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That you can look at your day and say, you don't need to wake up and say, oh, it's going to be a bad day. But wake up and say, hallelujah, I rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. You know, that's why it says that in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Because we kind of have to like, it's like trying to kickstart like the lawnmower. You know what I'm saying? Run, run, run. Run, 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 run. Like, rejoice. Come on, soul, rejoice. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we rejoice, and then like a minute later, we're like, oh yeah, I forgot I need to do that. Or we come to church and we rejoice, and then Monday is like, oh yeah, I forgot I need to do that. Rejoice in the Lord always, in every circumstance, whatever you're going through. That is your victory. See, this is joy that is overwhelming joy, and it overwhelms your circumstances. That it makes you stronger than what you're going through. This is the victory before the victory. You can rejoice before the prayer is answered. You can rejoice before the promise is fulfilled. Before you see the vision come to pass. You can rejoice before you feel it. Amen. Before you see it. This is how we walk by faith and not by sight. See, so often what we see with our eyes, what we're going through, what we feel in our emotions, that's not helping us. And so we need to, that's why the Bible says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. We need to be reminded. We need to be kickstarted, right? Sometimes, like I was saying, that lawnmower, it's cold. It hasn't been started for a little while. You got to fill it up with some gas, and you got to pull that ripcord. Get it going. And then once it's going, you're good. It's the same thing with joy. We got to get ourselves going. You know, this is why we come to church and lift up our hands and clap. Yes. Yeah. And shout hallelujah. Yeah. It's not about hype. It's because in the Bible it says that. Come into his courts with thanks and praise. Amen. Right? Shout to the God of all the earth. Psalm 63, I will lift up my hands in your name and bless you. The Bible's calling us to do these things, but the reason why is because it's the way to receive his joy. He inhabits the praises of Israel, the Bible says. And so we come and we celebrate God and we bless him and we praise him and we shout and we rejoice and we clap because in doing that, oh, we're filled with joy. And here's what we're doing. We are defying. We are defying what the enemy is trying to get us down in. We are defying how we feel. We are defying how we see things. Lord, the way I see it right now is not looking so good, but I defy what I see. I'm going to believe what you say. And I rejoice anyways. I'm going to rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. This is why we worship. This is why we shout and declare. I mean, you know, you got a church of thousands of people. Man, it's just energized just because there's people in there. But many of you know. I mean, we're starting to fill up this place a little bit, but many of you know, man, we just got a few people when we first started, and yet you know what we were doing. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! And some of you thinking, man, these people crazy. Well, I am crazy. Because you got to be a little bit out of your mind to defy. Just like those people parachuting or with no parachute, jumping out of planes with no parachute. They got to be a little bit crazy. Well, we got to be a little bit crazy. Got to be a little bit out of your natural, carnal mind. A little bit like, no, I'm not going to live by what I see. And I'm not going to live by the way this culture is. You know, the people in this culture, they want to like almost boast in their tiredness and boast in their busyness and boast in their worry and boast in, it's so hard. And they want to boast in that. I'm going to boast in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes it's so easy to get us down. One little thing can just, and now we're depressed. Now we're discouraged. And the Lord's saying, no, I want to give you joy. I want to give you joy that no one can take from you. Can't be stolen from you. Sometimes I do that. When I'm struggling with joy to rejoice, I say, not going to steal it from me. No, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes I just wake up in the morning and I try not to wake everybody else up. So I'll wait till maybe they're awake. And I'll put on music right there on my iPad, turn it up. I'll start worshiping the Lord. But sometimes I don't have any music. Sometimes I'm driving on my way to work, and I just start shouting. I'm not mad. I'm just praising the Lord. Hallelujah! That's right. Keep one hand on the wheel. You'll hear me in the morning, with music, without music. Praise you, Lord! You are for me and not against me. I rejoice in your salvation today. You are on the throne. I have a reason to rejoice. We always have a reason to rejoice. No matter what's going on, he's greater. Right? No matter what's going on, the Lord reigns. No matter what's going on, he conquered sin and death. No matter what's going on, he's coming back. No matter what's going on, he's for me, not against me. He's with me. No matter what's going on, my sin is forgiven. The mercy of God is flowing to me. His grace abounds. His mercy is new today. He's faithful to his promises. No matter what's going on, God is working all things together for my good. I always have a reason to rejoice. So I got to remind myself, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord wants you to receive his joy, and he wants you to rejoice. This is why we worship. This is why, remember, in the Old Testament, they sent the worshipers out in front? Yes. One time with Jehoshaphat, they were against an army that they could not take out, way bigger than them. Yes, yes, yes. And Jehoshaphat, being a good king, humbled himself, cried out to God, God, we can't do this. You're the only God. We need you. And the Lord sent the preachers. And the preachers said, put the worshipers out in front. And I believe the Lord's saying that to you. Put the worshipers out in front. This is the victory before the victory. This is how to overcome on the inside before you see it on the outside. This is the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You put those worshipers out in front. And they put these worshipers, I mean, they don't have any swords. They got like drums, you know, guitars. No, I'm messing around. And harps or something. And they put the worshipers out, and they're shouting, and they're praising, and they're singing. And the Lord sent supernatural victory and defeated their enemies. He fought for them because they worshiped. Put the worshipers out in front. Put the worshipers out in front. Let's praise the Lord, huh? Church, stand with me. Stand with me. Let's praise the Lord.